On the final day of the ICJ hearings at The Hague, most countries call for declaring the Israeli occupation of Palestinian land illegal. Gaza's health ministry says the death toll from 143 days of Israeli onslaught has risen to nearly 29,800, mostly women and children. And an active-duty U.S. airman sets himself ablaze outside the Israeli embassy to protest Washington's complicity in Israeli genocide of Palestinians in Gaza. Hello and welcome live from Tehran. You've tuned into World News. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Appreciate you being with us. Well, the UN's top court has witnessed consensus among participating states in a string of hearings over Israel's occupation of Palestine. The majority of participants are calling for the Israeli occupation to be declared illegal. On the final day of hearings at The Hague, the representative of Turkey underscored the Israeli occupation as the root cause of conflicts in the region. The African Union envoys also urged the world court to seize the opportunity to end, quote, the impunity of Israel's ruthless war machine. The AU also argued that Palestinians have been the victims of years of subjugation, displacement, and dispossession. Meantime, the Arab League has condemned Israel's occupation, contending that there is no legal basis for Tel Aviv to maintain its occupation. Over the past week, the judges of the World Court have heard statements from more than 50 countries and international organizations. The ICJ is expected to take about 6 months to issue its order. 143 days into the onslaught on the Gaza Strip, the Israeli regime has carried out more deadly attacks on civilian targets. The latest attacks have killed 43 people across the Gaza Strip. At least six of the victims were targeted by airstrikes on the cities of Rafah and Dar al-Balah. The others were killed in different incidents of drone strikes and artillery shelling across Gaza. The Gaza Health Ministry says the situation in the northern parts of the Strip is extremely catastrophic, where hospitals are left without fuel. The regime's genocide in Gaza has so far killed 29,800 Palestinians, most of them women and children. Well, we're going to cross over to Deir al-Balah and talk to a correspondent on the ground there, Moti Abu Musabe. Moti, please fill us in on the latest of what you have seen and what's going on there.
Well, before talking about the latest developments on the ground here in the Gaza Strip, let me say that according to Gaza's health ministry, that the Israeli occupation forces committed at least 10 appalling massacres over the last 24 hours, claiming the lives of 90 Palestinian civilians and injuring at least 142 Palestinian civilians. These numbers are rising incrementally with the continuous and the ceaseless Israeli airstrikes and attacks that are still hitting more areas of Gaza Strip. The latest attack took place here in the central area of Gaza Strip, actually targeted a residential building in Al-Buraij refugee camp in the central area of Gaza Strip, where at least two Palestinian civilians were killed over that attack, while the Israeli artillery actually targeted an UNRWA school, which is taking shelter by the Palestinian civilians and the displaced Palestinians. Dozens of the Palestinian casualties were brought to the Al-Aqsa Martyrs Hospital as we are standing here right now. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery maintained and renewed its shelling to the eastern parts of Deir el-Balah city, targeting the residential areas and the residential buildings in that area. We can hear the explosions of those attacks from where we are standing right now. In the meantime, when it comes to Gaza City, according to the latest news that the Israeli occupation forces targeted once again the Palestinian civilians who were gathering near Annabulsi roundabout in the western part of Gaza City. They were waiting for the humanitarian convoys to reach Gaza City, and for the seventh consecutive time, the Israeli occupation forces attacked them, and dozens of them were reportedly injured, and they were brought to the Shifa Medical industrial complex. So it's the same policy of the Israeli occupation forces to deprive the Palestinian people to have any real access to those basic humanitarian needs. And according to multiple eyewitnesses, that the Palestinian people there were encouraged enough to go so close to the Israeli tanks, and many of them actually snatched the bags of the white flour from under the Israeli tanks and the Israeli vehicles amid heavy gunfire of those Israeli vehicles towards the Palestinian people, because, as you know, that for roughly 5 consecutive months, the Palestinian people in Gaza City and in the northern parts of Gaza Strip have been enduring the ceaseless and the relentless Israeli airstrikes, but unfortunately they are no longer able to endure to watch them, their children, to perish in front of their eyes. So this actually puts the current situation on the collapse for the people in Gaza City and the northern part of Gaza Strip. They are literally compelled and afflicted by the unprecedented humanitarian conditions resulted in from the starvation used by the Israeli occupation forces as a weapon of war. And in the same time, the UNICEF announced that allowing the humanitarian assistance to enter Gaza City is a matter of life and death for the Palestinian children in Gaza. So this reflects how catastrophic the humanitarian conditions are for the people there. And according to the medical sources from Gaza City, that multiple cases of the Palestinian people actually passed away, and they died over the lack of the food and over the dehydration they are suffering, over the deprivation of the basic humanitarian needs. We are talking about catastrophic humanitarian situation. The people in Gaza City and in the northern part of Gaza Strip are literally trapped inside the triangle of death. They are under the heavy bombardments of the Israeli occupation forces, and they are afflicted by the starvation, and at the same time they are exposed to unprecedented spread of the infectious diseases.
Thank you so much for that report, Moti Abu Musabib, correspondent there in Dar al-Balah. Meanwhile, moving to other news, the head of the UN Agency for Palestinian Refugees calls for humanitarian aid to be allowed into Gaza, where people are grappling with severe shortages of food, water, and medicine. Philippe Lazzarini said the delivery of vital aid can prevent famine in the Palestinian territory. He described as a man-made disaster the dire humanitarian conditions in Gaza. UNRWA's chief added that the agency has been unable to transfer food aid to northern Gaza for over a month in recent weeks. UNRWA has been facing Israeli calls for its abolition. Now, the agency's major donors suspended funding following Israel's allegations that some UNRWA staff members were involved in Palestinians' Al-Aqsa flood operation in early October. Regarding food scarcity in Gaza, the UN itself has voiced concern that almost everyone is at risk of famine. In recent days, a number of children have died from starvation in Gaza. Moving on to other news now, a rights group says the Israeli regime has turned a supposedly safe quarter to the Gaza Strip south into a trap to kill hungry and forcibly displaced Palestinians. According to the Euromed Human Rights Monitor, Israeli troops have killed the very same Palestinians they forced to flee from Gaza City to an area in the south of the coastal sliver. Israeli forces killed them at a checkpoint in central Gaza. Regime's troops also targeted civilians waiting for aid trucks near the checkpoint. As documented by the rights organization, Israeli forces killed 30 Palestinians waiting for relief trucks on a street southwest of Gaza City. Now, the rights group has recorded horrifying testimonies indicating Israeli tanks fired artillery shells and bullets at displaced Palestinians heading south. Hezbollah resistance movement and the Israeli military have been exchanging fire across southern Lebanese border since the regime began its onslaught on the Gaza Strip on October the 7th. Now, Hezbollah says it has downed a high-tech Israeli drone. Our correspondent in Beirut, Mariam Saleh, gives us the details.
You have the Hermes 450. It's not only used for reconnaissance purposes. It is used also to hit targets as well in Lebanon. It has been used by the Israelis extensively, and this is one of its most sophisticated, larger type of drones. Hezbollah, of course, in order to shoot it down, they used a surface-to-air missile. Now, Hezbollah has previously done this before, but this time it was perhaps the first time that with the naked eye people saw it fall down. There were even some amateur shots of the drone basically in flames going down in the area of Iqlim al-Tufah. And that area, it's not clear whether anyone was able to recover any parts of that drone, but it is considered significant, especially since Hezbollah had in August of 2023 displayed that they do have land-to-air missiles. They have the SAM-6. It was not clear whether Hezbollah was displaying it in one of their tourist sites as part of a war tactic, a psychological tactic. Some said it was only to boost morale, to show that Hezbollah can deter the Israelis, since the Israelis have, in the past decades, always had supremacy in the air. But it seems that now Hezbollah has actually put it to the test. They are using it, and they have used it more than one instance. Now we can see that it is very clear. Hezbollah has also said in their statement that they will continue to eye the skies of Lebanon.
The government of the Prime Minister of the Palestinian Authority has stepped down. The Premier, Mohammed Shataya, says this is in the wake of the developments related to the Israeli aggression against the Gaza Strip and the recent escalations in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds. Our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandu, has joined us earlier and brought us this.
There have been rumors that Shtayyi has resigned, that the Palestinian cabinet has resigned. But every time the Palestinian prime minister had statements and said that it's not true. But what happened this morning, that Palestinian prime minister headed the meeting of the Palestinian government, and he said that he had submitted the cabinet's resignation to Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas. It's in the hands of Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas, and he's the one to decide whether to accept the resignation of the Palestinian cabinet or not. However, this cabinet, and it's the 18th government since his appointment. Shtayyi was appointed in 2019. A lot of challenges had been seen by this government, as Shtayyi himself has said, as you have said also. Shtayyi today revealed that the decision to resign came in the light of the unprecedented escalation in the occupied West Bank and Al-Quds, and in addition to the genocidal war on the Gaza Strip.
A U.S. service member has set himself on fire outside of the Israeli embassy in Washington, D.C. in protests against 143 days of the Israeli regime's genocide in the Gaza Strip.
I am an active duty member of the United States Air Force, and I will no longer be complicit in genocide. I'm about to engage in an extreme act of protest, but compared to what people have been experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it's not extreme at all. This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal.
Now, the video of the incident was posted on an American video streaming service. The incident lasted about a minute before law enforcement officers extinguished the flames. The man was an active duty member of the U.S. Air Force. He is reportedly in critical condition. Now, this is the second incident of its kind outside an Israeli facility in the U.S. since the start of the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Last week, the United States used its veto power for a third time to block a U.N. resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip. The Pentagon has announced the death of that U.S. Air Force who basically killed himself in protests of what the Israeli regime and the United States are doing to the Palestinian in Gaza. Again, that young man has died, according to the Pentagon. Well, Iran's foreign minister is in Geneva for high-level human rights and disarmament meetings. In an address to the 55th meeting of the International Human Rights Council, Hossein Amir Abdullahian urged the UN body to immediately take action against Israeli crimes in the occupied Palestinian territories.
Today, the world is witnessing the maximum support for the Israeli atrocities by the United States of America and Canada and the UK and some of its other allies that make them complicit to the ongoing crime of genocide. The Human Rights Council must hold the Zionist regime and its supporters accountable for the atrocity crimes committed in occupied Palestine. Mr. President, I must say loud and clear that the human rights record is now stained and even tainted due to the atrocity perpetrated against Palestinian women and girls in Gaza and the West Bank. And this is still going on. If we are to restore the integrity and credibility of human rights mechanisms, we need to end the Palestinian genocide by stopping the occupying regime from further aerial bombardment and ground and sea offensive against Gaza and Rafah, as well as systematic starvation of the Palestinian people.
Well, thousands of pro-Palestine demonstrators have taken to the streets of the Spanish city of Barcelona to demand an immediate ceasefire in the Gaza Strip and call on their government to sever ties with the Israeli regime.
Free, free Palestine!
Free, free Palestine!
Today is the second day that protests have been held in more than 100 cities across the country to call for measures to stop complicity in the genocide that has been committed against Palestinian people. We demand an end to arms sales to Israel.
We fully support all those doing this demonstration, and we should stop all institutional and economic relations with Israel while the regime is being investigated by the International Court of Justice for Genocide. We should stop having an arms trade with Israel.
The protesters were chanting anti-Israel slogans while waving Palestinian flags. Similar demonstrations were also held in other cities, including in the capital, Madrid, in solidarity with Palestinians. Earlier in the German city of Nuremberg, it was the scene of pro-Palestine rallies as well. Now, protesters there also demanded an immediate ceasefire in Gaza and an end to arms supplies to Israel. Anti-Israel demonstrations were also held in Austria. And with that, brings us to the end of this World News edition right here. Thanks so much for staying tuned.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
in the limelight.
In the United States, a Wisconsin ethics panel has called for felony charges against Donald Trump's fundraising group. The commission says Save America Joint Fundraising Committee has evaded campaign finance laws in an effort to oust Donald Trump's rival. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. National broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. The bipartisan Wisconsin Ethics Commission is recommending prosecutors pursue felony charges against a fundraising group allied with former President Donald Trump after it allegedly circumvented state campaign finance laws in a failed effort to oust the powerful state GOP leader in 2022. Who refused to back Donald Trump's unfounded claims of election fraud. The Wisconsin investigation saddles those in Trump's orbit with more legal issues ahead of next November's general election. Documents obtained on Friday, 23rd of February, by CBS News lay out a plan by Save America PAC, alongside several Wisconsin state and local GOP officials, to evade a cap on campaign donations to funnel money to Adam Steen, who was challenging powerful Wisconsin House Speaker Robin Voss in a contentious 2022 primary challenge. The commission, composed of three Democrats and three Republicans, concluded that Adam Steen's campaign and the Save America PAC, as well as three local Republican Party organizations and eight others, coordinated to circumvent a $1,000 limit on individual donations for state assembly candidates by taking advantage of state law that places no limit on donations political parties make to candidates. Save America PAC donated $5,000 each to the Republican Party organizations in Chippewa, Florence, and Langlade counties during the primary. That sum, plus donations from others totaling more than $40,000, was eventually transferred to the Langdale County GOP to provide in-kind donations to help Adam Steen's campaign. Robin Voss, the longest-serving Assembly Speaker in Wisconsin's history, has been targeted by Donald Trump and his allies since 2020 for not removing the state's head election official and for his rebuff of Donald Trump's false claims of election fraud in the aftermath of the 2020 election. As a result, Adam Steen, who supported Donald Trump's claim, primaried Robin Voss with Trump's endorsement. Robin Voss beat Adam Steen in the primary, but by just 260 votes, and went on to win the general election race with 73% of the vote. Robin Voss is also currently the subject of a recall petition in Wisconsin by Trump allies. While the commission does not recommend charges against anyone specifically in Save America PAC, it alleges that the committee and agents working for it violated state finance laws. Save America PAC is the primary fundraising mechanism for Donald Trump's re-election bid, raising money for both the campaign and his leadership PAC. Currently, Save America is financing Donald Trump's legal bills and investigation-related costs stemming from the 91 felony charges against him, as well as multiple civil lawsuits. The commission is also investigating a $4,000 donation by election conspiracy proponent Mike Lindell to a local GOP party group, but decided against referring charges against the MyPillow CEO, stating they could not prove he intended to get Adam Steen elected. The ethics investigation is not a criminal inquiry, but if members of Save America PAC or the local GOP parties are charged with campaign finance violations and found guilty, the penalty is up to 42 months in prison and fines of up to $10,000. the local district attorneys must decide whether to prosecute those involved within 60 days of the referral, and if no action is taken, then the commission can request the state's attorney general, Josh Cowell, a Democrat, to consider charging Save America and others. British newspaper The Guardian has also covered this story and tells us more. Donald Trump's legal woes continue in Wisconsin, where the state's Ethics Commission has recommended felony charges against Donald Trump's Save America Joint Fundraising Committee for its alleged role in a plot to bypass campaign finance limits. Donald Trump is already facing 91 felony charges in criminal cases across multiple states, related to his political and business dealings. The newest allegations in Wisconsin were first reported on Friday, 23rd of February, by the news site WisPolitics. The Bipartisan Ethics Commission, which oversees the enforcement of campaign finance and lobbying laws in the state, recommended the charges in connection with a fundraising effort to target the Republican State Assembly Speaker Robin Voss during a 2022 primary challenge. Robin Voss, who is the longest-serving assembly speaker in Wisconsin's history, has been a consistent target of Donald Trump and his allies since refusing to aid Trump in his efforts to overturn the 2020 election in Wisconsin. Donald Trump personally urged Robin Voss to decertify the Wisconsin election results, and when the speaker said he could not do it under the state's constitution, released a statement accusing Robin Voss of working hard to cover up election corruption. The commission alleges that Adam Steen, Robin Voss's primary challenger, coordinated with state Republican Party chapters to evade Wisconsin's $1,000 limit on individual campaign donations by having individuals funnel earmarked donations through the county parties, which face no limits on campaign spending. The commission found the effort generated more than $40,000 to benefit Robin Voss's primary opponent. The state representative, Janel Brantjen, a vocal proponent of Donald Trump's election lies in the Wisconsin legislature, was also implicated in the alleged scheme. Brantjen allegedly helped coordinate donations earmarked for Adam Steen's campaign from the Save America Committee into multiple Republican Party county chapters. Robin Voss survived the primary attempt, but barely. Adam Steen, who earned Donald Trump's endorsement, lost by a mere 260 votes. Election-denying activists have most recently backed a campaign to recall Robin Voss, which is still gathering petition signatures and has drawn the attention of national figures in the MAGA movement, including the conspiracy theorist and MyPillow chief executive officer Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell headlined an event and has promoted the effort on social media sites, writing that Robin Voss had blocked our effort to secure our elections in a post on the social media site X, formerly known as Twitter.
علي حبه جنة وسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
The Gate of Knowledge. Exegesis and interpretations of the supremely eloquent sermons, letters, and sayings of the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him,
جنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة علي حبه جنة قسيم النار والجنة وسي المصطفى حقا إمام الناس والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge with Sheikh Mukhtar on IRIB English Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of a guide for managers based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. We are currently focusing on the 53rd letter of Imam Ali alayhi salam, which he writes to Malike Ashtar, in which he explains some very important principles of leadership. And also he elaborates certain duties and responsibilities and certain, you can say, ways of working in a system of leadership. And we reach this phrase where Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَأَبْلَغُ فِي عَوَاقِبِ الْأُمُورِ نَظَرًا, that when you are choosing people in your task force, especially when you want to keep them in a certain very sensitive positions, you need to be careful, especially if it's to do with people's future and deciding people's destiny. There he says that be careful and choose them well, and if you do that, then there will be good results. Of course, we discussed this at length in the previous sessions. Inshallah, those who want to look through those can refer to those previous sessions.
You are listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam goes on to say, now that you have taken the trouble to choose the right people into the society, now you as the leader of all of these small leaders, let's say, you as the governor, who now you have small committees or, you know, leaderships working under you, be careful that ثُمَّ أَسْبِغْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْزَاقِ, that give them a good amount of provision. ثُمَّ أَسْبِغْ عَلَيْهِمُ الْأَرْزَاقِ, that means don't be stingy when you want to pay them and with the kind of, you know, facilities that you want to provide them. This is a very important issue. If you notice, in many developed countries, this issue is not very much of a problem, because the government officials are paid well. But in certain developing countries, they are not paid well. Or for example, the very high level authorities are very well paid, but then when you come to the lower level authorities and the lower level workers, they are not paid well. Unfortunately, we have this issue in different communities and societies. In the developing countries, we have a certain level of problem. In the developed countries, we have another type of problem. In certain developed countries, for example, the leadership is paid very well, the government officials are paid very well, but the people are poor. I mean, in certain developed countries, we'll see that. that there is a very strong, you can say, very, very, very clear, line between the rich and the poor. There is a very vast majority of the public which is poor. There are 1% people that earn more than everyone, like very large amounts of money, while the rest of the 99% are not very well off. Okay, there are countries in the world, I would not like to name all these countries, but there are different countries that have these problems. Imam Ali alayhi salam is offering a solution here, that these people that are working under you as a main leader, you are the governor, you have got different bodies working for you. You've got different bodies working for you, they have got leaderships. All of them need to be paid well. Their needs need to be satisfied so that that some negative issues don't turn up, which I shall explain, inshallah, in the coming segment.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Sayyid Razi, also known as Sharif Razi, a religious scholar and theologian, holds a significant place in Islamic history for his invaluable contribution to the compilation of Imam Ali's profound teachings and speeches, which were later compiled into the influential literary work known as Nahjul Balagha.
Now, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, give these people that are working under you, these people that you have given these sensitive positions in, give them a good amount of provision. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ قُوَّةٌ لَهُمْ عَلَى اسْتِصْلَاحِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Why? Because this will give them strength in being careful that their nafs and their selves are not destroyed or they are not corrupted, so that they do not become corrupt. It is a power that stops them from corruption, from the corruption of their souls. وَغِنًا لَهُمْ عَنْ تَنَاوُلِ مَا تَحْتَ أَيْدِيهِمْ. And it will give them, it will make them free or needless of trying to encroach on the rights of those who are under them, and encroach on the wealth of those who are under them, or the wealth that is under them, as a trust to make the other people, rich. So they are given a salary. At the same time, they have a lot of money at their disposal that they need to divide properly. Every institute has that. Every government body will have a certain amount of budget allocated to them, a certain percentage of the budget. So now when that leader is paid well, he will not be insinuated to kind of take a certain percentage from that budget which belongs to the people, to himself. وَحُجَّةٌ عَلَيْهِمْ إِنْ خَالَفُوا أَمْرَكُمْ أَوْ ثَلَمُوا أَمَانَتَكُمْ. And then if you give them well, if you pay them well, then you will have a good argument against them if they, for example, commit acts of stealing or encroaching the rights of others. Then you'll have a good argument. You'll say, look, why did you do that while you had enough? Like, we provided you with enough. So we should provide these bodies properly, these groups of, but be very careful. That doesn't mean that you just let your hand open and give them stellar amounts of money. And these could be harmful, because then you don't have the ability to be just. You will have to end up giving a certain institute or a certain organ or a certain body more amount of money than the rest of the bodies. Then for justice will not be achieved. So this also has to be kept in mind, that there has to be a balance. And justice, inshallah, we shall discuss about this in the coming session. Just to keep in mind that this is not just a one-line sentence that can just be taken per se. There are many dimensions that need to be taken into consideration that we shall discuss in the future, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar in the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio.
قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من نداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال منه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
In the limelight.
The Ukraine war is giving NATO countries the chance to test their advanced weaponry on an actual battlefield. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The Washington Post has covered this story and tells us more. US military planners are using the Ukraine war as an active and bountiful research opportunity to prepare for a conflict with more sophisticated rivals such as Russia or China. The Washington Post cited a classified year-long study on the lessons learned from both sides of the bloody campaign, saying it will help inform the next national defense strategy, a sweeping document that aligns the Pentagon's myriad priorities. The Washington Post said the study was led by 20 officers who examined five areas: ground maneuver, air power, information warfare, sustaining and growing forces, and long-range fire capability. a senior unnamed military official, told the Washington Post, "We immersed them in this conflict to make sure that they were understanding the implications for warfare." Another official said, "The lessons taken from Ukraine stand to be an enduring resource. Ukraine has demonstrated that everything US troops do in the field, from planning missions and patrolling to the technology that enables virtually every military task, needs to be rethought." Washington and its NATO partners have viewed Ukraine as a proxy war to weaken Russia, while the Biden administration has touted this policy as for Ukraine, it has severely harmed the country. In the early months of the war, Kiev nearly reached an agreement with Moscow to end the conflict, and Russian forces would withdraw to the pre-invasion lines. However, Washington and London pressured the Ukrainian leadership to abandon that diplomatic path. Since then, Russia has achieved victories and is advancing in key areas along the battlefront. Ukraine is struggling to arm its forces and has suffered 500,000 casualties. Recently, the war has escalated to attacks on cities, while Ukraine has suffered substantial infrastructure damage. Last week, Russia achieved its first major territorial success in more than 9 months in the war, capturing the eastern Ukrainian city of Avdiivka. A soldier who escaped the city told the Associated Press that the Ukrainians were outnumbered 5-1. One Ukrainian told the Associated Press news agency of Kiev's increasingly aggressive conscription policy. He lamented, "It's a feeling that everyone wants to throw you into a meat grinder." Recently, the Ukrainian president, Volodymyr Zelensky, described the situation on the battlefront as extremely difficult due to delayed Western supplies of military aid. Meanwhile, more than 6 million Ukrainians who took refuge in Europe, the United States and Canada after the war broke out in February of 2022 worry whether they will ever be allowed to settle in the long term. With no end to the war in sight, governments that offered them short-term help now face a much bigger bill than they expected and are looking to control the spending. But Western arms manufacturers are reaping exorbitant profits from the prolongation of the Ukraine war. American weaponry sales overseas rose sharply last year, reaching a record total of $238 billion. The State Department reported the U.S. government directly negotiated $81 billion in sales, a 56% increase compared to 2022. The rest were direct sales by the U.S. military companies to foreign nations. Ukraine's neighbor Poland, currently on a drive to expand its military, made some of the biggest purchases, to a tune of $30 billion from the United States. On Wednesday, British arms maker British Aerospace Systems reported record profit of £25.3 billion in 2023 amid the ongoing wars in Ukraine and Gaza. British newspaper The Financial Times has also covered the same story and tells us more. Ukraine's war with Russia is giving NATO countries the chance to test their advanced weaponry on an actual battlefield, and they're gaining valuable insight as a result. NATO members, including the United States, Canada, Britain, Germany and France, have been giving Ukraine weapons and training since Russia launched its special operation in February of 2022. And the kinds of weaponry they have handed over have become increasingly advanced since the war began, with Ukraine pushing for modern tanks, air defense systems and aircraft. The Ukrainian defense minister told the Financial Times that because of this, Ukraine's allies can actually see if their weapons work on a battlefield, how efficient they work, and if they need to be upgraded. The Ukrainian defense minister said, for the military industry of the world, you can't invent a better testing ground. Petro Pyatakov, a retired colonel who is now a consultant for the arms industry, told the Financial Times that there was an active interest from Western artillery manufacturers in receiving feedback from Ukrainian gunners to supposedly eliminate shortcomings. He said that the fighting in Ukraine has exposed some issues. It has become apparent during operations that these systems were not intended for such intense warfare. A German defense contractor also told the outlet that they had learnt really a lot from the soldiers in Ukraine, who once they noticed something, suggest it and our software engineers sit down so that they can have an update. Meanwhile, Jack Watling from the London-based think tank, the Royal United Services Institute, told the Financial Times that the fighting in Ukraine had also given the West new information about how Russian weaponry worked. But he warned that the West has exposed a lot of its own capabilities to Russia and China, and therefore will have to change the ways that some of its equipment work in order to retain competitive advantage. You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9650 kHz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and Intelsat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pastoday.ir/en. And now you can listen to Arabi English Radio by your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us.
واقعیت زندگی
and try to apply them to our daily lives.
چجوری ممکنه؟
How is it possible?
از راه قرآن.
By means of Quran.
الله
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من، این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the first step, brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت قرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
نقیم الدین ولا تتفرقوا فیه.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن، دوری از قرآن، از قرآن.
Muslims major problem is losing touch with the Quran. Quran, Quran.
کتاب الله. Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Sheikh Rouhani on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Thumma salatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa alihi al-Tahirin. Dear and respected brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. In this program of Hadith of the Day, I want to read first a very meaningful Hadith from the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and then try to explain and translate it into English for you brothers and sisters. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Man adha'a fahishatan kana kamubtadi'iha wa man ayyara mu'minan bishay'in lam yamut hatta yarkabuhu." Allahu Akbar. The Prophet says that man adha'a fahishatan, the one he who publicizes an evil doing, fahishatan, kana kamubtadi'iha, is regarded as the same as the originator of that evil doing. You know, look in this hadith, the Prophet says that the one who publicizes, not committing the sin, you know, not committing the fahisha, not committing the evil doing. So the one who commits it, he will receive the punishment. Yeah, he will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because he is the doer of that evil doing. Yeah. But the one who publicizes it, look, the one who publicizes this kind of fahisha and this evil doing, he is also the same as the originator, the same as the one who commits this kind of sin and evil doing. So, which means that we must be very much aware. We must be aware of not publicizing, not spreading what? The wrongdoings and the evil doings. And then says, وَمَنْ عَيَّرَ مُؤْمِنًا بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَرْكَبُهُ. A man who imputes dishonor to a Muslim for a matter will not die before that matter is stuck to him. Look, the Prophet says that you should not input a kind of dishonor to a Muslim for a matter. Yeah, there are sometimes something happen, yeah? But we are not allowed to input what? Dishonor, disrespect kind of, or what we can say, humiliation, for example, against that person, against that Muslim. We should not belittle him. We should not mock him. We should not make fun of him by, for example, committing sometimes mistakes or errors. It's natural in our life that happens. Whenever a Muslim, there's a matter for a Muslim. We should not belittle him. We should not dishonor him, you know. Because of what?